卡基因服务员与聆听下的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2020年11月11日，星期三。我们再次荣幸的邀请到了来来传扬传播，为我们继续讲解《永恒的启灿念经》。Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Hari
Krishna. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila Chapter 23, Life's Ultimate Goal, Love of Godhead.
今天我们继续来学习永恒的启灿念经，是释迦牟尼佛成为的玛迦利拉中篇逍遥的第23章，生命的终极目标，对守神的爱。
We continue speaking from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to Sanatan Goswami.
我们继续来讲述主释迦牟尼马哈普布对 Sanatan Goswami 的教导。
There was one question from last week.
上周还遗留了一个问题。
From Vamsi Prabhu, Hari Vamsa.
Hari Vamsa Prabhu 上周还有一个问题我们没有回答。问题是这样的：如果是这样 ，Prasad 被奉献者或非奉献者吃下之后的，也可以荣耀，对吗？也是 Prasad。So, they're still discussing about this prasad, about offering the ancestors and take it. So, just like Satyamara, she also asked this. So, in that case, that if the prasad was taken by non-devotees or by other devotees, we can also take after them, right? The leftover of non-devotees andDevotees, because it's still prasadam according to what you said, if you remember.
There is a difference, because we cannot evaluate different levels of prasadam. There's no such a thing as different levels of prasadam. Prasadam is non-different from Krishna, therefore it's absolute.
首先我们要知道就是 prasadam 它本身是绝对的，因为 prasadam 和Krishna 是没有任何分别，所以我们不能对 prasadam 的级别做一种分别。
And prasadam is for the benefit of purification.
而且呢 ，prasadam 呢，它可以净化我们。
So I think where the confusion comes from here is, should we throw away the prasadam? Should we give it to someone else, or should we eat it ourselves?
所以呢，我想这里给大家带来困惑的一个问题是，这样供奉过的 prasadam 到底是扔掉，还是给其他人吃，还是自己吃？这是问题所在。
So why would someone want to throw prasadam because it's been offered to ancestors?
那如果说这个 prasadam 已经供奉给祖先了，为什么要把这样的 prasadam 给丢掉呢？丢弃呢？
We have to understand what is offered to Krishna.Is always pure.
我们要知道，只要是供奉给 Krishna 的食物，那就是 prasadam， 就是很纯粹的。
And it's not like we eat from someone's plate.
而且你吃的时候，不是说你是从别人的盘子里面别人吃下的这么吃的。
Prabhupada did not approve of devotees eating from each other's plates.
释迦牟尼佛他。并不认可说奉献者互相从彼此的盘子里面拿菩萨粮吃。
The disciple can take the remnants from the spiritual master.
门徒是可以吃 就是他们的灵性导师的吃剩的食物的。
Sometimes devotees take the remnants from a very senior devotee.
那有的时候呢，就是有奉献者，他们也会从非常资深年长的奉献者那里得到他们吃剩的食物。
But this is not a common practice.
但是呢，这个并不能普及。
So now let's say you cook prasadam for a program to give to family members or to friends.
那我们举个例子，比如说你做了一些prasadam来招待你的家人和朋友。
So if there is prasadam left, you're not going to throw it away because the intention was to feed non-devotees.
如果是有prasadam剩下来的话，你不会扔掉，因为你这个prasadam本来你做的时候也是想给那些非奉献者来一起荣耀的。
Now let's say the guests or the family members leave the prasadam on the plate. What do you do with that?
那么当这个客人还有你的家人，他们盘子里还有剩下一些prasadam没有吃完，那会怎么样？
So oftentimes this is a question of
idea. 有的时候，很多时候就是一个出于这种卫生的考虑。
So you can dispose of that prasadam, not throw it in the bin, but you can throw it somewhere.
那你可以把剩下的这个prasadam，你不是说把它扔到垃圾箱里面吃的，你可以比如放在河里或者树下，或者是给动物吃。
Now, let's say you have a plate of prasadam which you have offered to Krishna. No one has touched it, but you offered this plate to the ancestors.
那我们举例来说，你有一个盘子，在盘子里面放了这个食物，然后供奉给Krishna， 而且没有人碰过这个盘子里的食物。
Which is always the case. The ancestors don't come out of their grave to eat, bite into an apple, and then eat, leave the leftovers.
I think subtly it is.、就是你这个盘子里的食物是供奉 Krishna 之后再供奉给这个祖先的。那这个祖先不是说从坟墓里面出来，然后去拿着你的这个盘子在那吃。
So.You know, this is offered to Krishna.
对，这个是供奉给 Krishna.
The ancestors may get benefit.
而这个祖先们，他们从此就是受益。
But the prasadam.
但是 prasadam 还在那里。
Maybe it's good. But you have to understand, prasadam is always pure.
但是我们要知道一个道理，就是 prasadam 总是纯粹的。
So you don't get anyone's karma by taking someone's prasadam.
所以说你吃了别人的吃的 prasadam， 不是说就得到了他的 karma， 他的业报。But that's what we are taught.
Well, whoever said that should revise their statements.
就是我说我记得我们之前都是这样说的，你要吃了别人剩的prasadam 就是得到了他的 karma 业报了。那拉拉桑帕不说这个不准确，这个需要调整。
You have to be very careful what you hear and from who。
就是说有一些是从哪里听来的，这个来源，这个时候要小心。
Because sometimes devotees hear something from someone, and because they hear it for the first time, it becomes an absolute rule when actually that person who said it.May not be informed at all.
就是有的时候我们第一次听到某一个规矩或者某一个什么事情，我们就觉得这个就是这样的。但实际上那个告诉你的那个人未见得他说的就是准确的。
And above that, let's not forget, a devotee should not be affected.
还有一个就是奉献者是不应该受到影响的。
If a devotee feels that he's going to be affected by every little thing that comes from the material energy, then it's better not to be involved with any of these rituals.
如果人家奉献者总是战战兢兢，总是觉得物质能量里面的任何一点点小东西落到他身上，他就会受到影响，受到污染什么的，那最好什么都不干，不要跟这个物质能量有任何接触。
So what happened to the practice of devotional service? What happened to the chanting of Hare Krishna?
那你的这个修习，就 Krishna 拒绝的这些 规范原则，你所遵守的这些，那在这里又起到什么作用了呢？那你一直在念诵 Hare Krishna， 那难道一点作用都没有
？What happened to wearing neck beads？
那还有，我们都戴着这个Tulsi 的颈珠，那又没有，难道就没有作用了吗？这个净化力就没有了吗
？So this is one of the topics we're going to cover today: to follow rules for the sake of following them, and not for the sake of spiritual progress.
那这个其实也是我们今天要讲的一个主题，就是说遵循这个。仪式只是为了去遵守那些仪式，而不是为了灵性的一个进步，就是这样的一种遵循仪式的一种心态。
Okay. So let's go back to the text.
现在让我们再回到这个文中。
Okay. So what we have been going through until now.Are the teachings of Sanatan Goswami on the science of devotional service?
那我们现在呢，就是继续在讲对 Sanatan Goswami 的教导。那主题是有关奉爱服务的科学
，which was systematically and methodically presented by Lord Chaitanya.
那这个就是由主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 以一种非常系统的这种方式循序渐进的讲给了 Sanatan Goswami 听。
From the initial stage of beginning the practice of Krishna consciousness.
是从这个 Krishna 知觉修习的这个起步开始讲。
To the platform of pure devotional service.
然后到这个纯粹奉爱服务的层面。
And then into exploring the different.Relationship between Krishna and his devotees in the spiritual world.
然后呢，进一步去探索在灵性世界 Krishna 和他的纯粹的奉献者之间的关系。
And then elaborating on the qualities of Krishna and the qualities of Srimati Radharani.
然后进一步展开，详细的描述了 Krishna 的种种品格，还有。Srimati Radharani 的品格
And this is very confidential knowledge.
那这些都是属于非常秘而不宣的知识
We may read it, we may not understand it, but we have to appreciate it.
就是我们去读了，但是我们却不一定能够完全的去理解，但是我们要懂得去欣赏。
And these are definitely topics that are not to be shared with people who don't practice Krishna consciousness.
那这样的一些知识是绝对不应该和那些不修习 Krishna 知觉的人去分享的。
At the same time, we should not feel discouraged that it's so far away from us and there is no hope to attain the ultimate goal of life.
同时我们也不要灰心的认为啊这些知识实在是。太高了，太远了，我们没有办法触及得到，所以呢，就对这个修习 Krishna 知觉的这个信心有所影响啊，这个也不应该，不要认为我们永远达不到。
It is not up to us to decide how we become purified, how fast we progress in Krishna consciousness.
我们如何得到这个净化，多大程度上得到净化，然后我们在 Krishna 知觉的这条道路上究竟这个前进的有多么迅速，这些都不是由我们自己来决定的。
We should not judge other people's advancement.
而且我们也不要随便的去研判别人的进步的程度。
We should not try to calculate how advanced or how neophyte we are.
也不要老是去衡量计算自己我是多么的初级啊，或者说我有多么的精进啊。
Because there are real symptoms.
因为的确有一些征象是实质性的。
And when those symptoms are visible, then we understand that there is progress.
那当这些征象能够察知得到，能够看到，那就说明。这里的确有一些实质性的进步。
But for now, we have to go through the mechanical process of purification.
但是现在就目前阶段而言，我们还是要就是遵循的这样的 一个规范原则式的这个程序去一步一步走的，虽然看起来比较的机械。
And at the same time, we are given a glimpse of what it means to be with Krishna just by engaging in the process of sadhana.
但是呢，与此同时，我们也是通过这个 sadhana 规范修习的，这条途径，我们也能够窥见和 Krishna 在一起究竟意味着什么，有这么短暂的一瞥。
For example, when we see the deities, we may not cry, but the deities is there in any case.
就比如说，当我们来到神像面前的时候，我们可能还做不到泪如雨下，但是呢，神像的确就是在那里。
The scriptures are the same. We may not appreciate, or we may not completely be absorbed in the shastra.But the Shastra are always there. We can turn to the Shastra all the time.
那经典也是这样，读经典也是同样的。我们可能还没有办法津津有味地沉浸于其中，或者真的去欣赏和品味到其中的这种甘露。但是经典就是在那里，随时你想要转向它的时候，它都在那里等待着你。
It's the same with the Mahamantra. The Mahamantra is always there. It's always available. It's just a question of us having the text.
Mahamantra 也是这样，它始终是在那里的，始终你想要找到它，转向它，它都在那里，只不过就是说我们的还没有对它有品味。
And the devotees association is always there, whether we like it or not.
同样的，这个和奉献者之间的联谊也随时都在等待着我们，不管我们是喜欢还是不喜欢。
So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains.To Sanatan Goswami, that those who don't practice Krishna consciousness, they will not be able to understand the exchange of pure love between Krishna and his devotees.
就是Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他就是说，那些不修习 Krishna 知觉的人，不修习奉爱服务的这些人，他们是没有办法理解Krishna 和奉献者。之间的那种交流的。
But one who is engaged in devotional service will be able to gradually taste what it's like to be engaged in Krishna's service on the pure platform.
但是呢，去那些从事对 Krishna 的奉爱服务的人，他就能够些许的品味到，就是在纯粹的层面上面为 Krishna 做奉献。
So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given Sanatana Goswami all the different aspects of pure devotional service.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他把纯粹的奉爱服务的方方面面都传授给了 Sanatana Goswami.
And he has given the tools which are required to enter.Krishna's eternal pastime.
而且呢，他也给予了他一个工具，通过这个工具可以进入到 Krishna 的永恒的逍遥时光。
And he explains to Sanatan Goswami that pure devotional service to Krishna is not part of the four principles that guide human beings in this world.
另外呢，就是其他年马哈帕布呢，他又对萨拉坦戈斯瓦米他说呢，这个纯粹的奉爱服务并不隶属于帮助人们在这个物质世界里提升的那四个原则。
In other words, the four principles that guide human beings in this world are dharma, artha, kama, and moksha.
就是这四个原则是什么呢？dharma, artha.Karma, moksha.
So dharma is religious principles.
Dharma 呢就是宗教原则。
Artha is economic development.
Artha 呢就是经济发展。
Karma is sense gratification.
Karma 呢就是感官享乐。
And moksha is liberation.
Moksha 就是指的是解脱。
So this is the circle that people get always caught up with.
这个就是一个循环，而人们往往就会被困在这个循环里面。
People perform religious activities for the sake of material benefit.
首先人们去做从事那些宗教的仪式或者是宗教的那些活动，但是呢其目的却是为了获得物质的益处。
So they get material benefit, and then they enjoy the fruit of these material benefits.
那么他们通过宗教仪式呢，他们就获得了这些物质的益处，然后进一步呢去享受，就是感官享乐，去享受这些物质的好处。
And then when they are exhausted from sense gratification, they seek liberation.
然后呢，当他们在感官享乐中精疲力尽之后，就开始去寻找解脱之道了。
But this is not where Krishna consciousness fits.
但是呢，这个跟 Krishna 知觉无关。
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says Krishna consciousness is the fifth goal.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他说呢 ，Krishna 知觉是第五个目标。
Which is beyond the platform of liberation.
因为它是超越解脱的。
It is called Krishna Premadana, the treasure of love for Krishna.
它被称为 Krishna Premadana, 意思就是说，爱主的宝藏。
So now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to complete his teachings to Sanatana Goswami.
那现在呢 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢？就要讲到对这个 Sanatana Goswami 的这个教导的尾声部分了。
By doing two things.
那这样就完整了。这时候他要做两件事情。
First is going to give very specific instructions to Sanatana Goswami.
首先呢，他要给 Sanatana Goswami 非常明确的一些训示。
And then he's going to explain very clearly how do you know a devotee who has reached pure love for Krishna.
然后他接下来要解释的就是你怎么才能够知道一个奉献者已经达到了纯粹的奉爱层面。
And we're going to read some very, very important instructions from Srila Prabhupada.
然后呢，在这里我们也会读到 Srila Prabhupada 的一些非常明确的训示。
So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, previously, I empowered your brother, Rupa Goswami,to understand these mellows. I did this while instructing him at the Dashva Meda Ghat in Prayag.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 对 Sanatana Goswami 说，之前我曾经赋予了你的兄弟 Rupa Goswami 理解这些甘露的力量。现在当我是在Prayag 的 Dashasvamedha Ghatha 这个地方给他训示。
Okay, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a set of teachings to Rupa Goswami, and now he had just given a set of teachings to Sanatana Goswami. Between the two of them, the complete science of devotional service is being presented to the world.
那么就说之前他给 Rupa Goswami 呢一些教导，现在他又面对 Sanatana Goswami 又给了他一番这个教导。那么对这两兄弟的这个教导总合起来，就是Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 要对世人所讲述的有关奉爱服务的科学。
Then he says, All Sanatan,You should broadcast the revealed scriptures on devotional service and excavate the lost places of pilgrimage in the district of Mathura.
接下来呢 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就说了，他说那个 Sanatana, 你应当是把这门基于奉爱服务的启示经典的知识广为传扬，并且去发掘在 Mathura 地区所消失的朝圣之地。
So here are two very specific instructions.
那在这里呢，就是说有两个很明确的训示。
Then he says, establish devotional service to Lord Krishna and Radharani in Vrindavan. You should also compile bhakti scriptures and preach the bhakti cult from Vrindavan.
然后呢，他就是说，你要在就是你要去建立在 Vrindavan 的就是对 Krishna 和 Radha 的奉献服务，你应当去编纂 Bhakti 经典，就是有关奉爱的经典， 并且呢，你要去传扬 Vrindavan 的 Bhakti, Vrindavan 的奉爱。
So Lord Chaitanya was giving this task to both Rupa and Sanatan.
那就是Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他就把这些教导传授给了 Rupa 和 Sananta.
And he trusted them because they were very highly intelligent, because they had influence, and because they were pure devotees.
首先他们非常的有智慧，而且他们也有一定的很大的这个影响力，而且他们是纯粹的奉献者，所以呢 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 会给他们这样的训示。
And he sent them to Vrindavan, which at that time, which was 500 years ago,was just a big forest.
那么当时呢，五百多年前，当他把这个 Rupa 和 Sananta, 就是派送到 Vrindavan 的时候，当时 Vrindavan 还都是一片原始森林密布的地方。
So they had to do everything from scratch.
所以说他们等于就是从零开始。
Establish temples where people can worship Radha and Krishna.
那就是他们首先做的就是去建一些神庙，那么人们就可以在神庙里面去崇拜 Radha and Krishna。
Write books on the science of Bhakti Yoga。
然后呢，他们要开始编纂撰写这个有关Bhakti 奉爱科学的书籍。
Find in Vrindavan, not just Vrindavan, but the whole of Braj, find all the lost.places where Krishna performed this pastime 5,000 years ago.
那就是说，然后呢，要在这个 Vrindavan, 不仅仅是在 Vrindavan, 是在整个的Braj 的地区，去寻找那些 Krishna 曾经上演逍遥时光，而现在呢，已经隐没不见的那些地方，也就是那些圣地，要让他们去发掘出来。
So how did Lord Chaitanya know?That these two brothers were actually qualified for this.
那么Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他怎么就知道这两兄弟呢？他们是完全的具备这样的资格去做这些服务呢
？First of all, because he empowered them.
首先一点就是说他是赋予他们力量了。
Second, because they are eternal associates of Radha and Krishna.
另外一点就是他们俩也是 Radha 和 Krishna 永恒的同游。
And third, because both of them.Had so much influence in India at that time that they could get things done practically.
第三点就是说，当时在这个印度的社会中，那这两兄弟还是非常具有影响力的，所以呢，这些事情他们就可以非常高效的，迅速的完成。
In other words, wherever they found a place of pastimes of Krishna, they established a lake.They established a temple. How do you do this when you have no home and no money?
那换句话说，比如说他们发掘到了一个Krishna 的逍遥时光的这个地方，那么这个时候他们就要挖出这个湖，然后在旁边要建上这个神庙。可是他们两个人就是甚至都没有一个栖身之地，他们也没有钱，没有资金，那他们怎么做到这一点呢？
So they engage wealthy people.
所以说呢，他们就能够影响到那些有钱人。
Prabhupada says Sanatan Goswami established the Madan Mohan Temple, which is on the bank of the Yamuna, and Rupa Goswami established the Govindaji Temple.
那就是说呢，然后呢，就是了 Prabhupada 就在这个要旨里面说到了，他说 Sanatan Goswami 呢，他是建立了这个 Madan Mohan 这个庙。而 Rupa Goswami 呢，他又建立了 Govindaji 庙。
So I don't know if you know the story how the Madan Mohan Temple was built.
Salt. 那我不知道你们大家知不知道 Madan Mohan 这个庙是怎么建起来的。
It was based on a very wealthy man who was selling salt.
那这个呢，实际上是就是当时有一个非常有钱、非常富有的一个盐商他呢就是捐赠的。
His boat was stuck on the Yamuna on the sand bank, and he couldn't move anymore. Sanatan Goswami, he said to Sanatan Goswami, "If you manage to move my boat, I'll build you a temple."
那当时这个盐商呢，他 有一艘装满了盐的那个船就搁浅在亚莫纳河的这个泥地里面了，就搁浅在那儿动不了了。然后他就对这个萨纳坦戈斯瓦米说，如果你能够帮助我把这艘船能够挪动它的话，那么我就帮助你去建这个你想要建的庙。
And before, because there was no temple, Sanatana Goswami used to worship his deity of Madan Mohan by sitting the deity on the tree because he was busy writing books.
在这个庙宇建成之前呢，当时是没有庙宇的。那 Sanatana Goswami 他是在崇拜的 Madan Mohan 的这个神像，他就把那神像放在那个树上。因为他实在是太忙于要编写那些经典了。
Then Madan Mohan was established in that beautiful temple, which still exists today. You can see it on the Parikram.
然后呢，这个美丽的 Madan Mohan 的庙呢就建成了。然后呢 ，Madan Mohan 神像就在里面得到崇拜。那这座神庙非常的美丽。今天你们就是在 Parikram 的这个路上绕拜的那个路上都可以看见。
And of course, the original deity is no longer there because it had to be moved.When the Muslim invaded Vrindavan.
不过最原本的这个 Madan Mohan 的这个神像已经不在那座庙里面了，因为当时就是穆斯林入侵 Vrindavan， 所以呢，奉献者们得把这个神像把它转移掉，保证这个神像的安全。
You can see the original deity of Madan Mohan in a small village in Rajasthan called Karoli.
你现在呢可以在 Rajasthan 的一座非常小的这个村庄叫 Karoli 那里能够觐见到 Madan Mohan 最原本的神像。
And Rupa Goswami established, practically speaking, the most amazing, beautiful temple for Govindaji.
那这个 Rupa Goswami 呢，他建成的这座 Govindaji 的这个神庙呢，可以说是最宏伟辉煌的了。
Of the most outstanding architecture in the whole of North India.
可以说是整个的北印度所有的这个建筑神庙建筑当中的巅峰之作。
So he was living under a tree, but he engaged wealthy people and architects to build that temple.
他自己是几乎一无所有，就住在一棵大树下面，但是他却能够影响到那些非常富有的那些人，以及呢，能够让那些建筑大师一起去完成这个作品。
And that temple had 7 floors.
那这座庙就是 Govindaji 庙，它一共有七层。
And it was so beautiful that you could even see it from Agra, which is 60 kilometers down the road.
那么这真的是美轮美奂的这样的一座。那个 Govindaji 的这个神庙非常美轮美奂，甚至你是在60公里之外的阿格拉，你都可以远远的看到它，因为它很高。
And the Muslim king, when he saw that, he became envious. He got 3 floors demolished.
那么在60公里开外的这个阿格拉的穆斯林国王远远的看到之后呢，内心当中非常的记恨，所以说呢，很嫉妒，所以他就让人。把这个七层的这个庙的最上面三层给它削掉了，摧毁了。
So the temple is still there, very beautiful, very popular.
那这个神庙现在依然屹立在本达文，非常的美，然后有很多人络绎不绝的都去觐见神像，就去拜见这个神庙。
But again, the original deity of Govindaji is no longer there.
但是呢，最原本的 Govindaji 的神像也已经不在那里了。
It was removed because to protect the deity from the Muslim invasion.
也是因为要保护这个神像不受穆斯林侵略者的侵害。
And Govindaji became most famous around the world because it was established in a beautiful temple in Jaipur, where there are millions of devotees coming to see Govindaji every day.
那后来这个 Govindaji 呢，就转移到了，就是Jaipur 的非常美丽的皇宫里面，然后呢，在那里有成几百万人 millions of people, 数百万人每天都会来觐见，去朝拜这个格明达基的神像。由此呢，这个地方也成了一个闻名于世的圣地。
As a matter of fact, the city of Jaipur was built around the deity of Govindaji. It was built for Govindaji.
事实上，整个 Jaipur 的这个皇城其实是为了 Govindaji 神而建设的。
And if you have to do anything in your life, there is one thing that you should do is to go and visit that temple because that temple is going to blow you away.
那这个神庙哈，就是 Govindaji 在斋布所在的神庙，那真是你这一生必去无疑的一个地方，因为那个地方实在是太美了。
If you want to see pure devotional service in front of your very eyes, you just go to the Govindaji temple, you sit on the side,And you just watch the devotees.
那么你如果想要看一看，亲眼的看一看，这个纯粹的奉爱之情究竟是什么样子的，那你就来到 Govindaji 庙，然后你只要待在边上，静静的坐在那里去观察那里的奉献者，看见他们，去注视他们的面庞，你就知道什么叫做奉爱了。
So Rupa and Sanatan lived under the trees. They never had a home in Vrindavan.
Rupa 和 Sanatan 他们其实就是以大树为家，就住在树下面，是无家可归的。
They hardly had anything to wear.
他们身上甚至都没有像样的衣服。
And yet they did so much for the world.
但是呢，他们对全世界做出了巨大的贡献。
And both of them wrote many books on the science of Bhakti Yoga.
他们两个人有关于这个 Bhakti Yoga 奉爱瑜伽的这种科学都写了很多的文献。
Now Prabhupada explains, this Krishna consciousness movement continues the tradition of the six Goswamis, especially Srila Sanatan Goswami and Srila Rupa Goswami. Serious students of this Krishna consciousness movement must understand their great responsibility to preach the cult of Vrindavan, devotional service to the Lord, all over the world. We now have a nice temple in Vrindavan, and serious students should take advantage of it. I am very hopeful that some of our students...can take up this responsibility and render the best service to humanity by educating people in Krishna consciousness.
那沙帕帕在要旨当中说到，就是这个 Krishna 知觉运动延续了六 Goswami 的传统，尤其是 Sri Sanatan Goswami 和 Sri Rupa Goswami。Krishna 知觉运动中的认真的学生们必须要理解他们。有肩负着巨大的责任去传播Vrindavan 的这个对主的奉爱服务的传承，要将它传播到世界各地。现在我们在 Vrindavan 已经有了一座非常美丽的神像，已经有了一座非常美丽的神庙。认真的学生应当好好的善用这样的机会。我衷心的希望。我们的学生中有一些人能够肩负这项使命，教育将 Krishna 知觉传授给所有的人，以此作为对全人类的最伟大的。
So Prabhupada had great hope that anyone who is part of the Krishna consciousness movement will take the responsibility to make the world knowabout Rupa and Sanatan, about Vrindavan, and about the science of devotional service.
那就是说呢，在这上面的这一段要旨中的话当中，我们可以看到 Srila Prabhupada 希望我们处在这个 Krishna 知觉当中的这些奉献者们，能够让全世界的人去了解 Sanatan Goswami, 还有这个 Vrindavan,还有 Vrindavan 的这些神庙，还有这些经典，让他们去了解这些荣耀。
So everything in spiritual life is based on desires.
所以说呢，就是其实，在灵修生活当中的一切，都是仰赖一个基础，就是一个人的愿望。
to continue our journey into the material world, it's all based on material desires.
如果是说一个人在物质世界里要一直走下去的话，那也要基于他的物质欲望。
To return to the spiritual world, it's also based on desires.
那么同样要回到灵性世界的话，也要基于一个人的愿望。
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a desire. His desire was to give pure love for Krishna to everyone.
而且当年马哈巴布也有一份强大的愿望，就是希望把 Krishna 知觉带给每一个人。
So that desire is like planting a seed, and then you make that seed grow until it fructifies.
那这个愿望呢，就好像是播下的一枚种子，然后你要给它浇水，要呵护它，然后它才能够生根发芽，然后开花结果。
So Lord Chaitanya's desire manifested in the form of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的愿望就是展现在 Vrindavan 的六 Goswami 的身上。
And their legacy and their work was passed down through the Guru Parampara, and each Acharya passed down this desire to spread Krishna consciousness.
那这个他们的这个愿望就是通过这个 Parampara, 使徒团系就这样传递下来他们的愿望以及他们所做的这些努力。那么在这个传承当中的每一个 Acharya 们也接受了这样的一个愿望，然后进一步去传扬这个 Krishna 之觉。
So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had a desire, and that was to bring the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to the Western world.
那 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati 也有一个愿望，他的愿望就是说把 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的教导能够传扬到西方国家。
And his desire was fulfilled by Srila Prabhupada.
而 Srila Prabhupada 呢就满足了他的愿望。
So Srila Prabhupada also had a desire that Krishna consciousness would be spread all over the world.
那 Srila Prabhupada 也有这样的一个愿望，他希望 Krishna 知觉能够传扬到世界的每一个角落。
But Prabhupada also understood that it's very important for the devotees to have a place in Vrindavan.
但 Srila Prabhupada 也非常清楚，他知道就是奉献者们应当在 Vrindavan 有一个地方，这一点是至关重要的。
Now, Prabhupada, and we're going to celebrate this very soon, Prabhupada passed away on November 14th, 1977.
那么 Srila Prabhupada 呢，他是在1977年的11月14日离开的这个世界，他隐寂了。
And up until the last day, Srila Prabhupada was still translating and commenting on Srimad Bhagavatam.
他在世的最后一天，他仍然在翻译圣典博迦瓦坛，以及做着他的评注。
And the last chapter that Srila Prabhupada was working onwas the 13th chapter of the 10th canto, which is Brahma stealing the calves and the cowherd boys.
那么 Srila Prabhupada 在世的他所这个口说翻译的最后一个部分就是圣典博迦瓦坛的第十篇的第十三章，在这一章当中就是说到了主 Brahma, 就是梵天他偷走了牧牛童还有小牛犊。
So you can imagine, Prabhupada is lying on his bed, ready to leave his body.
可以想象一下这样的一个情景，是了，爸爸当时躺在他的床榻上，然后他已经到准备离开这个世界了。
And in one purport, he says, the devotee has a desire.
然后在这个要旨当中呢，他说到，他说奉献者们有愿望。
He is actually talking about himself, but he won't mention himself, but he says, a devotee had a desire.
实际上他在说的是他自己，但是他并没有提自己的名字，他就说一个奉献者有一个愿望。
And then he says, what was once an empty piece of land has now become a beautiful temple.
他说呢，从前的一大片空地现在已经变成了一座美轮美奂的神庙。
So just from Prabhupada's desire to build a beautiful temple in Vrindavan, the Krishna Balaram temple manifested.
那就是因为 Srila Prabhupada 他有一份心愿，就是在 Vrindavan 能够建起一座神庙。于是呢 ，Krishna Balaram 的这个庙呢就展现了。
And the place where Prabhupada got the land, nobody ever went there. It's just way out of town. No one ever was ever interested in that spot.
其实呢，就是Krishna Balaram 庙宇所在的这片地，也就是 Shri Prabhupada 他们摆下的这片地，是离那个Vrindavan 镇的中心非常偏远的一个地方，无人问津的这么一个地方。
So Prabhupada got the land.
就是别人都不感兴趣的，但是呢，是了 Prabhupada 呢，他却买到了这片地。
He was still living in his quarters at the Radha Damodar Temple.
他当时还住在这个 Radha Damodar 庙的那个房间里。
And he asked one of his disciples, who was an architect.
然后呢，他就请了他的一个门徒，这个门徒是一个建筑师。
He gave him a piece of paper and a pen, and he said, "Design a temple for me."
他就拿了一张纸和一支笔给他说，你现在呢，就来设计一个庙吧。
I mean, how Krishna works is amazing. That devotee is from Holland.He's an architect from Holland.
那 Krishna 是怎么做到这一点呢？这真的是让人不可思议。那这个建筑师奉献者呢？他是来自于荷兰，他是在荷兰的一位建筑师。
And he's asked to design a temple for Vrindavan.
从荷兰来的一位建筑师被赋予了这样一个使命，要让他去设计为在 Vrindavan 设计一个神庙。
So.Because he was a very accomplished architect, he understood that he should blend different architectural styles.
那他也是一位非常有成就的、非常精湛的一位建筑师，所以呢，他就知道他应当要把不同的建筑风格融于一炉。
He went to his room with a piece of paper and a pen, and he began to draw. He did not have to rub anything. He drew.The design of the Krishna Balaram Temple in one go.
那当时他就拿着这个铅笔，拿着纸到他的房间里面呢。可以说他连橡皮都没有用，整个 Krishna Balaram 的这个建筑图就是一气呵成，一个草图一气呵成，连橡皮都没有用。
He went back to Prabhupada. He put the paper on his desk. Prabhupada looked at it. He said, "Perfect."
然后他就把这个画好的。这个草图就到拿去给释迦帕帕帕看，然后呢，释迦帕帕帕就看了一眼，说：“完美之极。”
Now build it.
现在就开始造了。
These are the desires of the pure devotee. Now build it.
这个就是纯粹的奉献者的一个愿望他的愿望就是说，那就把它造出来吧。
And the first thing that the devotees built was Prabhupada's room.
那是奉献者们他们造的第一个地方是什么？就是Srila Prabhupada的那个房。
Because as long as the devotees felt Prabhupada's presence, they would push until this temple is completed.
因为他们造好了 Srila Prabhupada 所住的这个房间之后，他们就能够真切地感觉到 Srila Prabhupada 就在那里， Srila Prabhupada 一直在那里，所以他们就一直可以推动这个工程的就推动那个推进那个工程，直到它最后完全的完成。
And the other incredible thing is that this temple was built by devotees who are not even from India. They had to deal with the contractors, with the product.With the cement, with the bricks, with the workers, and they knew nothing.
还有呢，就是说当时建造这个 Krishna Balaram 神庙的这些奉献者，都不是印度的本地人，那他们都是从西方来的。然后他们对当地的文化、当地的民俗也不了解，但是他们要造这个神庙，就得跟很多的当地的工人去打交道。还有这个包括这些水泥啊这些砖头啊这些建筑材料啊这个每一个东西他们都要去操心。
And Yamuna Devi designed everything. The altars, the deities, the clothes, the kitchen, she designed everything.
那 Yamuna Devi 呢他自己一个人就设计了所有的包括这个神坛然后神像然后神像穿的这些衣服还有厨房都是他一个人设计的。
Originally, Prabhupada actually wanted in the Vrindavan temple Radha Krishna with the eight gopis. And Yamuna said, Prabhupada, devotees will never be able to keep doing this service. We're going to stick to Lalita and Vishaka.
那就是说一开始是 Prabhupada 他是想有 Radha Krishna 在八个牧牛姑娘，然后呢。 这个 Yamuna Devi 他就是说，Shrila Prabhupada， 我们这些奉献者没有办法服务这么多的神像，所以最后呢，他们就只是把Lalita 和 Vishaka 这对牧牛姑娘放在那个 Radha Krishna 的。
But the main deities of this temple is Krishna Balaram. Why? Because this temple is built in Raman Reti, which is where Krishna Balaram used to look after the cows.
那么。 这个 Krishna Balaram 的这个神庙的主神还是 Radha 和还是那个 Krishna 和 Balaram， 为什么呢？因为这个神庙它处在的这个这片地方叫 Ramareti， 那就是从前这个 Krishna 和 Balaram 他们就是牧牛的地方，他们放那个小牛犊的地方。So
on the altar we have Gronitai and Krishna Balaram and Radha Samasunda Lalita Vishaka.
所以呢，就在神堂上面呢，我们就从左至右就会有 Gauranitai 神像，然后 Krishna Balaram 神像，然后右边的就是 Radha Samasunda 和 Lalita Vishaka.
Then devotees build a guest house.
然后接下来，这个完成了之后，奉献者们他们就建了宾馆。
And then devotees build a gurukul.
然后再继续就造了这个 gurukul， 就是临时学校。
And in those days, there was nothing around, absolutely nothing, not a single house.
当时呢，就是 Krishna Balaram 是在那片土地上的唯一的建筑，周围什么都没有，任何一个建筑物都没有。
I was in Vrindavan in 1982. There was not a single shop. There was not a single car.
在1982年的时候，当我来到文达文的时候，当时连一家店铺都没有，连一辆车都没有。There
were peacocks.
那里有的是什么呢？孔雀。
And there were cows.
还有就是奶牛。And
only a few monkeys.
只有这么几只猴子偶尔可以看见。Today
there are no peacocks.
现在是没有孔雀了。There
are millions of monkeys.
有成千上万不计其数的猴子。And
a few cows.
然后有这么几头奶牛。Now,
how was this temple built?
那这座神庙又是怎么拔地而起的呢?
Srila Prabhupada sent devotees to collect money.
那Srila Prabhupada 得把那些奉献者们都派出去，让他们去募集资金。
And practically speaking, all that money was collected in Japan.
那可以说建造这个神庙的几乎所有的这个资金都是来自于日本。So
when you walk into the temple room and you look up on the wall to your left, you will see a marble plaque that lists all the names who collected the money and how much they collected.
所以你进了神庙之后，你往左边看，在仰头看，有一片大理石，就是墙上有一块大。 大理石上面就是写着，那些就是当时筹集资金的这个人的名字，还有他们一共募集到多少资金来造这个神庙。And
the temple was inaugurated on the occasion of Ram Nomi, which was in April 1975.
那么是这个庙宇呢，它的这个揭幕仪式是在1975年的4月份 Ram Nomi， 就是主 Rama 显现日。
And it's a very, very beautiful temple.
那这个庙宇实在是太美了。And
from that temple, literally speaking, hundreds and thousands of people come to have darshan of the deities, take prasadam, and buy Prabhupada's books.
然后就是这样的一座庙呢，就是千千万万的人就来到这里朝圣，觐见神像，然后他们还在这里荣耀了prasadam。
So just from the desire of a pure devotee, the entire spiritual world can manifest, but also the huge machine for spreading Krishna consciousness can manifest.
所以说呢，仅仅是通过一个奉献者，纯粹奉献者的一个 心愿，整个灵性世界就可以展示出来。还有去传播 Krishna 知觉的这样一个巨大的机器也就展现出来，运行起来了。
Vrindavan became famous internationally because of that temple.
那 Vrindavan 就是因为这座 Krishna Balaram 神庙，于是闻名于世。
And not only that, but the devotees from the Krishna Consciousness Movement have contributed over the years in renovating many holy places in Braj.
而且不仅仅如此 ，Krishna 知觉运动的这些奉献者，在过去的这么多年当中，他们也就是修整了是 Vrindavan 的很多的庙宇。
So Vrindavan today is not what it was before.
那么这个 Vrindavan 的今天已经和从前不一样了。
It has been very developed.
然后它也发展得非常的快。
But the legacy is still there.
但是这个遗产依然完好无损。
And the samadhi of Rupa and Sanatana are still there.
这个 Rupa 和 Sanatana Goswami 的 samadhi 依然保存完好。
And devotees go to Vrindavan every year for Kartik except this year.
每一年的这个 Kartik 月奉献。都会从世界各地来到这里，那除了今年。
And for 1 month, they go around Braj, walking barefoot, going through every places of pilgrimage around Braj, which is to the credit of Rupa and Sanatan.
然后有整整的一个月的时间，他们将光着脚徒步的走遍Braj 的每一个朝圣之地，这一切都要归功于 Rupa。
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very practical.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 是一位非常务实的人。
And he understood that Rupa and Sanatan were also very practical.
而且呢，他也知道 Rupa 和 Sanatan 也是很务实的。
And he trusted them.
他非常的信任他们。
To absorb the science of Krishna consciousness and present it to the world.In a very practical way.
他们也知道他们能够很好的去吸收 Krishna 知觉的科学，而且会以一种非常实际的方式向全世界呈现。
And this is the next topic.
而这就是我们下一个话题。
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatan Goswami about proper renunciation according to particular situation, and he forbade dry renunciation and speculative knowledge in all respect.
就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，接下来他就教导了 Sanatan Goswami， 如何去根据一个特定的一个情况去实施这个正确的拒绝，而且呢，主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 是禁止任何的那种枯燥的乏味的枯燥的那种气绝，以及心智臆测的知识。
In other words, in order to enter the spiritual world, we have to renounce the material world.
那么为了要去到灵性世界的，我们要首先弃绝这个物质世界。
But if we take renunciation to an extreme, then we will lose the goal.
但是呢，如果说我们在气绝上面走了极端的话，那我们可能也就偏离了目标。
And if we speculate on the knowledge how to reach that goal, we will also lose the goal.
那如果说我们在如何达到我们的目标的这个途径当中，在这个知识上面去进行心智臆测的话，那我们也会失去我们的目标。
So the science of Krishna consciousness is to understand the essence of bhakti yoga and to use this essence according to time, place, and circumstances.
所以 Krishna 知觉的这个目标就是要去了解 Krishna 知觉的精髓所在，然后要根据时间、地点。实际的情况因地制宜的去运用这门知识。
So Prabhupada explained, renunciation is based on country, on time, and candidate.
那是吧，帕帕在要旨当中说到了，他说这个弃绝呢，所谓这个弃绝要考虑到这个国家、 时代和候选人。
In other words, Prabhupada explains that, for example, the way people do things in, it's not the way what people will do in other countries.
那换句话说就是说，Prabhupada很清楚，在印度人他们的这个方式，他们做事情的这个方式和世界其他的地方的做事的方式肯定是不一样的。
And this is the work of the Acharya. The Acharya, there are many Acharyas that come at different time in history, and each time an Acharya appears, he must consider the time, the place, and the people.
那么就是 Acharya 们，他们的成就就体现在这里了，因为 Acharya 们这些历代的宗师们，他们是出现在这个不同的这个时代的，所以说呢，他们怎么样去传播和运用 Krishna 的知觉，就要根据当时的实际的这个时代，以及当时的他们所在的地方，以及一些实际的情况，所谓这个因地制宜。
So it's not that the six Goswamis lived under a tree, that now everybody all over the world has to live under a tree.
并不是说，因为六 Goswami 当年他们都是住在树下面的，以树为家，以天地为家。那我们这个以后的这些后人，大家也都应该效仿他们的榜样，住在树下面，不是这个意思。
The Goswamis of Vrindavan only slept an hour and a half. It's not that we have to sleep an hour and a half.
那六 Goswami Vrindavan 他们只是每天才睡一个半小时，那我们都得只睡一个半小时吗？每天
？They ate a little cup of milk every 2 days, but we don't do that.
他们每隔一天才喝一小杯的牛奶。那这个我们也做不到，没法效仿。
At the same time, it's not like everything that we see in India must be exported into China.
而且也不是说我们在印度所看到的一切全部都要原封未动的传输到这个中国去，不是这样。
The girls in Braj wear gopi skirt, so now in Beijing we have to wear gopi skirt.
并不是说在这个 Braj 这个地方，我们看到那些姑娘们，她们都是穿这个 gopi dress 的，然后我们到了北京，大家奉献者也都得穿这个 gopi dress， 不是这样。
It's not that in Vrindavan people eat sabji, so now in China we have to eat sabji.
并不是说就是。在 Vrindavan 那当地人他们吃的都是 Sabji 就是那种印度式的那个烩蔬菜，各种蔬菜炒在一起那种。那并不是说我们到了中国，到北京，我们大家也都跟他们一样吃一样的食物，不是这样。
It's not that in Vrindavan people spend 4 hours every morning chanting mantras, and now we're going to quit our job in China so we can chant mantras.
并不是说 Vrindavan 的居民们他们每天早上要用4个小时的时间来念他们的 mantra， 然后我们在中国的奉献者也都得辞职，天天就要花好几个小时来念这个 mantra 来做冥想，也不是这样。
So, Prabhupada explains the principle of Niyamagraha, which is you should not try to do the impossible.
就是释迦帕巴他就是讲到了这个梵文里称为 Niyamagraha 的这个原则，意思就是说你不要试图去做那些不可能的事情。
What is possible in one country may not be possible in another.
那释迦帕巴就解释说呢，在一个国家可能的事情，到了另外一个国家可能就成为了不可能。
So an Acharya is one who is expert to draw the essence of devotional service and apply it.According to time and place.
一位真正的 Acharya 呢，他就有能力去萃取这个奉爱服务的精髓，然后把它运用到某一个特定的国家、特定的地方。
So we have to think about this very intelligently.
所以呢，当我们去思考这个问题，关于气节的这个问题的时候，我们就要运用我们的智慧。
There is more information coming in this purport, but we're out of time now.
在这个要旨当中呢，我们还有很多其他的要点，但是我们现在已经没有时间了。
So we will continue next week. It's a very, very important section of the teachings to Sanatan Goswami.
这个是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 对 Sanatan Goswami 教导中的一个非常重要的一个部分。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. 好，我们看一下。I still about eating the remnant. 请问老师，学生吃老师剩下的食物有什么灵性好处吗？吃肉食者吃剩下的食物又有什么不好吗？还是不明白？既然供奉 Krishna 的食物都是纯粹的，吃任何人吃下的又是剩下的又有什么区别呢？This devotee asked, what's the spiritual benefits for the students to take the remnants of the teacher? And is there anything wrong, anything bad about eating the remnants from the meat eater? I still don't understand because the food offered to Krishna Prasadam, which is very pure. So if we take the remnants from anyone, there shouldn't be any difference. Is that right?
Yeah, go ahead.
You should make it clear to the body is getting confused.
The point is you are not in the position, you're not in that situation anyway.
这个关键的问题是你并不是处在这样的一个处境里面。
Let's say you cook a meal. I'm not going to speak for hours on that topic, okay?
就关于这个话题，我就不想用太多的时间去讲了。
Let's say you cook a meal for your family.
我们举个例子，就是给家人做了一顿饭。
And you offer it to Krishna.
然后呢，你供奉给了 Krishna.
So it's Krishna prasadam by principle.
这个原则上讲。这就是Krishna 的 prasadam。
So you serve the prasadam on their plates？
你把这个 prasadam 放到他们的盘子里。
And they leave something on the plate。
然后呢，盘子里面就剩了一些食物。
Will you finish their plates？
你会把他们盘子里的剩的食物吃完吗
？Is this part of Chinese culture to finish people's plates？
这是中国人的一个传统吗？I would say in the family。Usually the mother would do that. 我觉得在中国人的家里面，通常做妈妈的会这样，把家里。
My experience and observation in China over the years is people really make an effort to finish everything on their plates, unless it's not eatable.
我在中国的体会就是说，一般大家都会光盘，就是说都会努力的把盘子里的食物都吃完，而不浪费除非这个盘子里的这个东西实在是难以下咽。
But you will finish your own plate.
但是你肯定可以做到把自己盘子里的食物吃完吧。
So let's say they leave some prasadam on the plate. Will you finish what they left on the plate?
我的问题就是说，他们盘子里要剩了食物，你真的会你就会去把它吃完吗
？Well, you can if you want to.
如果你想的话，你可以啊。
It's still prasadam.
它还是 prasadam.
Some others will not want to touch it.
但是有些人就不愿意碰了。
Because they feel that beyond prasadam, the people who are not devotees will put their own consciousness in there.
因为他们觉得就是说，虽然是 prasadam， 但是那些非奉献者们的这个意识会进入到。知觉会进入到这个食物当中去。
And it's not clean and hygienic.
而且
to touch people's plates.
从卫生的角度来说，去碰别人用过的这个盘子里的这个食物，这也不卫生呀。
So you can take it to an extreme. Yes, prasadam is always prasadam, even if it has been touched by a dog.
所以说你要是想走极端的话，那也可以。你可以说prasadam 是绝对的纯粹的 prasadam， 即便这个 prasadam 被狗碰过了，它还是 prasadam。
Even if a dog touches prasadam，
就算是给狗碰过的，这个它也是 prasadam。
It is still prasadam。
它还是这个 prasadam， 但是你不会去吃。But you will never touch it anymore. You won't eat.
Well，
这个就是我们就不能那个。这么较真这个事情了，
这是
你的选择。
What about Jagannath Das Babaji？
但是的确是有纯粹的奉献者，他能够这样做，他可以去吃这个，只要是 prasadam 他就吃。像
Jagannath Das Babaji， if you go to his temple here in Navadvip， it's the only place where the dogs are allowed in the temple room。
就是在这个 Navadvip 的这个庙里面。其实那个区域是只有狗才能会进去的，其他的人都不会进。Only the dogs will go in.
I said it's the only temple where dogs allowed in the temple room.
我说错了，就是那个，就是这里这个庙，它是唯一的一个狗可以被允许进入的庙。
Because Jagannath Babaji was famous for having a big plate of prasadam, and he would sit down, and the dogs would eat together with him on his plate.
就是说呢，Jagannath Babaji他之前是这样的，他有一个盘子里面放了这个prasadam，然后这个狗就被允许进去，然后呢从这个盘子里面去吃。
Because he saw every dog in Mayapur as members of Vaikuntha.
因为他把这个Mayapur的每一条狗都看成是Vaikuntha来的居民。
So take it to your own level.
所以说你要根据你自己的状况去判断这件事情。 Sorry, but you haven't answered the question. What's the spiritual benefit of taking a raiment from the teacher, which means guru?
Anything coming from the spiritual master can actually bring you perfection.
其实从灵性导师那里来的任何的东西都可以把你带到完美的。
And it is part of the rules and regulations that the disciple should accept remnants from the guru.
这个是指的是门徒对灵性导师，就是门徒去荣耀灵性导师所剩下的食物，这是规范原则当中的一个部分。
Three things Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says can bring perfection to the devotee.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 说呢，有三样东西可以让奉献者达到完美的境界。
One, the water that's washed the feet of the guru.
第一个就是说沐浴过guru莲花足的水。
Two, the dust from the feet of the guru.
第二个是来自于灵性导师脚下的尘土。
And three, the food left by the guru.
还有就是guru剩下的食物。
So these three things, if you take them in full faith, you can attain perfection.
这三个东西，如果你是 充满的信心，100%的信心去接受的，那它的确是可以让你达到完美。If
you have doubt about it, either you stay away from it or you will commit offenses.
如果你心里面还存有疑虑的话，那你就保持距离，不要去做这件事情啊。或者说，你即使做了，你荣耀了这个剩下的书，可能你的心里也是冒犯啊。 心里就变成冒犯了，这样就不好。所以每个人根据自己的情况去选择。下一个问题来自于山马，感恩老师精彩的讲课，请问老师一边听课一边做饭可以吗？有的人说可以，有的人说不可以。Thank you very much for your wonderful class. Are we allowed to listen to a class while cooking? Some people said you can do like this. Some people said no.
I do this every day.
我每天都这样，我每天都是一边听课一边做饭。
Every day I listen to Prabhupada lectures while I'm cooking.
每天我做饭的时候，我都听Srila Prabhupada的讲课。
I actually concentrate better.
事实上，在这个过程当中，我就更专注了。Because
the mind is under control.
因为这个时候，我的心意得到了控制。
But you can cook while chanting Hare Krishna. You can cook while listening to a kirtan.
你可以在做饭的时候。 一边唱诵，或者是去聆听一个kirtan。
And you can cook without listening to nothing.
你也可以什么都不听，专心的做饭也可以。
It's up to you, up to your capability and your taste.
这个又是因人而异的一件事情，你要看你自己的能力怎么样，然后还有你的品味怎么样。
But don't cook while looking at your phone all the time.
但是千万不要一边做饭一边又时不时的去看你的手机。
That's very, very destructive.
看手机，这个是
disruptive.
这个是
and destructive.
这个又是毁灭性的，又是让你分心的。 Disruptive, destructive.
Yeah.
英文里面这两个字的发音有点相似。
And don't cook while talking to others all the time.
然后不要一边 跟别人闲聊一边做饭，这个其实就是专心是很重要的。Panchatattva Prabhu ask a question. Dinbai Prabhu Mataji Ju Chaitanya 对 Sanatan Goswami 的教导甘露对现在的奉献者们有什么样的启示？尤其对在中国传播 Krishna 知觉运动。 The nectar of the teachings from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatan Goswami, is there any enlightenment to the present devotees, any lessons to the present devotees, especially for the devotees who are spreading Krishna consciousness movement in China?
The teachings, Prabhupada wrote this book, The Teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
Srila Prabhupada 写了一本书叫做主 Chaitanya 的教导。
And in this book, Prabhupada presents the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to five different individuals.
Sorry, I was distracted.
Lord Chaitanya speaks to five different individuals. Prabhupada presents his teachings to those individuals.
Okay, 就是在这本书里面呢，就是Chaitanya Maha 说到了 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 对五个人，五个不同的人的教导。那么 Srila Prabhupada 呢，就在这部 Chaitanya 主 Chaitanya 教导里面呈现了这个五个教导。
One are the teachings to Sanatan.
第一个是对 Sanatan Goswami.
One are the teachings to Rupa.
第二个就是对 Rupa。
One are the teachings to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya.
然后一个是对 Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya 的教导。
One are the teachings to Ramananda Roy.
还有一个是 Ramananda Roy.
And one are the teachings to the head of the sannyasis, Mayavadi sannyasis, Prakashananda Saraswati.
然后还有一个就是对Mayavadi 假象宗非人格主义者的那个 sannyasi 的首领 Prakashananda Saraswati.
We have this in Chinese?
Yeah.
Teachings of Lord Chaitanya?
Yeah.
So,these teachings of Lord Chaitanya helped the devotee to actually understand the essence of bhakti and to apply it according to time and place.
所以呢，就是这部书主 Chaitanya 的教导呢，就可以让奉献者去了解 Krishna 知觉的精髓，而且呢，知道怎么根据时间、地点和实际的情况去运用 Krishna 知觉的精髓。
Now, out of those five teachings, two are teachings.About Mayavad philosophy.
这个五个教导当中，其中有两个部分都涉及到 Mayavadi, 就是假象中非人格主义者。
So this is very relevant to the situation in China.
我觉得这个跟中国的情况是密切相关的。
Because you get to know what is the essence of bhakti.And you get to know the dangers of Mayavad philosophy.
你就会知道就是 Krishna 知觉的精髓是什么，而这个 Mayavadi 的这种非人格主义的它的危险性在哪里。
And Prabhupada explains in one letter to a devotee.
那在一封给奉献者的信中，释迦牟尼解释道
that the greatest service to humanity.In other words, if you want to do anything that will benefit human beings, it's to destroy Mayavad philosophy.
那沙巴瓦在曾经说过，如果说你可以为人类做一份最伟大的贡献的话，换句话说，你真的要是为全人类做一件很重要的这么一份功绩的话，那你就要去摧毁 Mayavadi。假象中非人格主义哲学。
And somewhere else in his book, Prabhupada said, even a good karmi engage in karma yoga is better than a Mayavadi.
曾经在有一个书里的某一个地方，Srila Prabhupada他说呢，即便是一个名副其实的 karmi, 就是他去遵循这个 karma kanda, 去遵循伟大经业报之部。这样一个业报工作者，这么一个 karmi 也要好过一个非人格主义者，一个 Mayavadi。
So by studying this book, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, you will be able to see what adjustments you can make to present Krishna consciousness to the Chinese public.
所以说呢，就是如果你认真的去读了 Chaitanya 读 Chaitanya 的教导这部书的话，你就会知道，要向中国大众去传播 Krishna 知觉的话，要在哪些地方做一些调整 ？Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Any other questions, Sumukhi Radha Mataji?
Sumukhi Radha Mataji, 还有问题吗 ？In other words, you are saying Chinese are mostly in be disturbed by the
Krishna. 没有了。
没有了 ，That's all.
Okay.
Early today.
Let me see. So this coming weekend is Govardhan Puja.
Monday.
Yeah.
就是这个星期一是 Govardhan Puja, 那么大家可能会在周末。
So I want to remind everyone that even though Govardhan Puja is next Monday, it's a very flexible celebration. In other words, if it's more practical for you to celebrate on the weekend, you do that on the weekend.
我就是想提醒大家，虽然这个 Govardhan Puja 是在下星期一，但是如果出于这个 实际情况的考虑，如果说你们要在这个周末来庆祝，也是可以的。If
you have to work on Monday, then celebrate Govardhan Puja on Saturday or on Sunday.
如果是星期一要工作的话，那么在星期六或者是星期天来庆祝 Govardhan Puja 也是可以的。And
next Wednesday is Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, so we will be speaking on that.
下周三是Srila Prabhupada的隐居日，所以下周三的我们的主题就是有关Srila Prabhupada。So,
if you ask Janaka Prabhu, he has uploaded in his WeChat group the video showing how to make halva for the Govardhan Hill.
那关于这个怎么样去做这个Govardhan 山要用到的主要的材料就是那个哈拉瓦，我们有一个视频的教学，这个视频大家应该也可以看到，在那个Bhakti之道那个企业微信当中是可以看到的。So
make sure that you have a very nice, very colorful and very pleasant celebration of Govardhan Puja.
所以希望大家能够过上一个 非常美丽隆重的，充满着这个色彩缤纷的一个色彩缤纷的一个Govardhan Puja，一个快乐的、美丽的Govardhan Puja。Thank
you very much, Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
非常感谢 Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
Thank you, Krishna Premi, for the translation.
感谢 Krishna Premi Mataji 的翻译.
Thank you to all the devotees.
感谢所有的奉献者的聆听.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Kashadesh Yatra ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.
白坤大知音服务源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，今天的永恒的 Chaitanya 经，Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita 的讲座就到这里结束. 我们现在讲到的是 玛迦利拉中篇逍遥的第23章，生命的终极目标，对神手的爱。感谢大家的聆听，Hare Krishna。